This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sheets swings, sends it in the air, center field, straight away and deep. Harris is going back. He is at the wall, leaps up, and it's going to go! A home run! A home run! Pinch hit home run as Gavin Sheets ties it 4-4 here in the seventh. Welcome to San Diego.
Yeah, that was incredible. Just the emotions of the whole game, and obviously to have that at bat right there, it's a lot of fun to be here and just to feed off this crowd and this team. It was what an awesome start.
That's a turning point in this ball game too. I mean, are you thinking about that after you're rounding the bases?
Thinking about a lot when I'm rounding the bases. Just try to enjoy the whole moment. But yeah, in that situation, you know, I want to come in, and obviously pinch hitting's tough there, but you want to spark the offense in some way. You know, we played a great game, and just to be a little piece of that right there, just wanted to get the inning going, and obviously got a spark there.
And the ironic thing about it, the guy still looks like Chipper Jones. A former Brave. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody. He does look just like Chipper Jones.
I need to look at this.
Look right at him. I mean, we asked him that when we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, yeah, he gets it all the time. He looks just like Chipper Jones, the former Brave. Padres beat the Braves, as you all are certainly well aware by now. 7-4, the final on opening day. An all-time record opening day crowd. 45,568. And they all went home happy and dreaming of World Series championships come October.
162-0, Chris.
Well, you can't go 162-0 if you don't go 1-0.
Thank you. I'm still waiting for Major League Baseball's post.
Let's be honest about that. You got to win the first one if you're going to win all of them.
So, very true.
The Padres got it done today, and we got a lot of different ways we're going to go on this game today. I sat down and watched this game, and anyway, I took a bunch of notes, Scrabe. I don't normally write stuff down.
About to say.
Here's my scratch sheet of paper. This is it. This is the paper my wife uses to put her shopping list on.
There are gingerbread men at the bottom of this.
You're right. This is, and it says Merry Everything, so it's Christmas paper.
Oh, wow. No, it's everything paper.
Yeah, right. This is the stuff my wife puts our shopping list on. But I know everybody else would sit there with a laptop on their lap.
I get the writing.
And they would type it all in.
I do get the writing.
But I sit there and jot notes down during the game. So I'll share a bunch of those with you. And you know me, when I watch a game, I go in a whole bunch of different directions that you're not even thinking about. So we'll get into it. But all in all, yeah, love it. 7-4. Fernando was on point at the top of the order, getting it done. He had a great game. Jackson Merrill. So much for the sophomore slump, right? I mean, 4 RBIs in the opener for Jackson. That was awesome. You heard Gavin Sheets. I don't think he could have done any better than that. And Manny stole 2 bases, and the bullpen did its thing. Look, the bullpen came in the third inning.
Yes.
They pitched 6 1/3.
Yeah.
They allowed 3 hits and 1 run. And all of that was allowed by Alec Jacob. That means the last 5 guys in there didn't allow a hit. So, you know, it's getting it done in the bullpen. Got a little shaky in the ninth there for a minute. But, yeah, it's good. I mean, you beat Chris Sale. You didn't beat him, but you got him out of there. And you beat their bullpen. So Padres get off to the nice start, 7-4. And for all of you that are dreaming of World Series, I looked it up. Yes, the last three World Series champions, the Dodgers last year, Texas the year before, and Houston the year before that, they all won on opening day, Scrape.
Proof.
Proof. That's proof. It. That proves it. That
it
the Padres are going all the way this year. Don't tell that, by the way, to the 2021 Atlanta Braves. They won the World Series, but started the season 0-4.
Okay. So all right.
That kind of disproves it.
I do love that there's a positive note everywhere you look.
Yeah, you can't find any negatives on opening day like that. I mean, what a day. I mean, come on, San Diego, you know, you get all the crowd like that. You get Bob Scanlon in a three-piece suit down there on the field. You get Mark Grant with a tie and Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah,
looking over
making
to Mark,
the rounds.
Looking over to Mark Grant in the interview and saying, boy, you guys are all tied up. Because they had the ties all knotted all the way up. And
did you see Tony's picture that he put on Instagram today?
Yeah. What was the whole thing behind that?
Oh,
I
think it's a sponsored post,
ah.
But he was doing a great job at being a model in these photos. Because
was that why he was kind of like this?
Yes, and then I put up
looks?
A picture.
Yeah, okay.
I put up a picture on my Instagram at Matt Scraby, and it has like thought bubble next to him. It says, "Man, that Scraby's really cool."
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Today, you can be cool, Scraby.
Anyway, everybody does great things on opening day, including Tony Gwynn Jr.
Well, when you win the game, then all is good. Game two will be tomorrow night, and it'll be. Dylan Cease's turn, and he'll go up against Reynaldo Lopez of the Braves. A couple of scores to update you on, because when Sammy went off the post game, Detroit was leading the Dodgers 2-1, but that is no longer the case. Teoscar Hernandez just hit a 3-run homer off Tarek Skubal, so 4-2 Dodgers there in the top of the sixth. Also should update you on these NCAA tournament games. The game that I'm hoping for the first time in sports history there will be no winner. I know I'm going to be disappointed because somebody is going to eventually come out. Alabama leads BYU 63-52.
I told you, you got to cheer for
minutes
Alabama.
To go. I don't have to cheer for Alabama. I'm not cheering for Nate Oates or Alabama. I have forever hated them, and the Aztec victory over them, was it 3 years ago now? God, it's time flies.
No, I think it was two.
Two, yeah, 2023. Thank you, Scrape. 2 years ago. That lives fresh, and I'd love when Alabama loses, but of course I love even more when BYU loses. The other game's a pretty good game at halftime. Florida's playing terrible. They've turned it over 13 times. Very sloppy performance. That's the bad news. The good news is Florida's still leading Maryland 40-38. So there you have your NCAA update a couple of games later on tonight. Scraby and I are going to take it till 7 o'clock this evening.
Yes,
so
sir.
We got to, we got to get into it. Why don't I get into my notes on a scorecard, Scrape?
Can you first celebrate our happy hour sponsor?
I absolutely cannot because I don't have it called
what?
Up in front of me at the moment.
All right, happy hour.
Why don't you do it? Because you probably do you have it?
I
there?
Have it right here. I have it right here.
It was a special read today, so I don't have it called up. Now I have it. I'm ready to go.
Call. He says called up like he's getting on the computer. I gave him a
no,
printout.
No, it's on my phone. It's on my phone.
Oh, no. Read the printout. Read the printout. Read the printout. Just read the printout, please.
No, I'm reading this.
No, it's, read the printout.
It says, sorry for the confusion. Oh, no, that's not part of it. Happy Hour is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball is back, and so is swim season. Call now and mention radio. And you get a free month of pool service. By the way, this isn't the happy hour, Scraby. The last hour is the happy hour, and we're not into that yet. But
no.
I didn't want to have an argument
Why?
With you on live radio.
I know. This is
that would
the
be,
happy hour.
That would be bad radio for
no.
you and I to actually argue on the air.
The
That's
5
never happened
p.m.
before.
Hour is the happy hour. We do one show a week where it goes past 6 for you.
Well, to me, this is the happy hour, and we're not in it yet. Because the happy hour has to be the last hour.
Chris, I
That's
can't
me.
Do it today.
Don't. I said I didn't
Depositors
want to.
Won.
I said I didn't want to argue with you.
Okay.
So just let it go.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Notes on a scorecard from today's Padre season opening win. Can I get a little music?
Yeah.
A little something?
I was just about to give you this.
Give me a little something. All right. That's fine. I'll take that. First, And maybe foremost, all day, one of the best things I saw all day.
Okay.
Padres PR media relations staff.
Okay.
And Padres organization leaves flowers at the seat of Bryce Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
The San Diego Union-Tribune columnist who passed over last weekend.
That was heart-wrenching.
Heart-wrenching, touching, but a move that I know everyone in the media appreciated.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bryce and your family were thinking of you, and so were the Padres today. All right, so that was first. That got the Absolutely. Day off to a good start.
Absolutely.
Trevor Hoffman, good seeing him out there throwing out the first pitch.
Yep.
Trevor throwing a changeup and then some today. I kind of thought Trevor would have a little more. Kind of had a lot of arc on it.
I mean,
he got it over the plate because he's Trevor Hoffman and he's a Hall of Famer. But
I wonder if he, like went back and just tried to throw a fastball in there.
No,
if he'd rip his arm off.
No, he didn't need to throw a fastball, but, you know, I thought it would be a little more. It was a big lob from Trevor, okay. So I'll have to talk to him about that. Really class move, Padre fans, and I expected as much. Standing ovation for Jerks and Profar.
That was great.
That was awesome. It was well-deserved. Jerkson then got a base hit.
Yep.
And then the rest of the day, he stayed up at bat all day.
Yep.
He must have fouled off 50 pitches today.
He was very Jerkson Profar today. After the game, Jackson Merrill did his post-game interview in a Mr. Relevant shirt.
Oh,
Jerkson Profar shirt.
A little nod to Jerkson. All right. Fernando leads off the game with a single. What did that do? That broke a streak of 19 straight Padre base runners who had been retired by the Dodgers at the end of last year's playoff. And then, of course, when Jackson got the two-run single, that quickly put an end to the 24-inning thing, and we didn't have to hear about that anymore. Thank you, Jackson Merrill, for that. I appreciate it. Michael King's stuff, his stuff, it was too good.
And Wait.
it was moving all over the place. Elias Diaz couldn't even catch the ball. And I think that Michael King just had it moving so much, he couldn't control it. It was just whacked out back there.
Okay.
The home plate umpire... Give me his name.
Adrian Johnson.
Adrian, he couldn't see it. He couldn't, because he couldn't call it right.
He had a tough day.
And if they would have had the challenge system, batters and pitchers in the first two innings of the game would have been just going like this the whole time.
I was thinking, who's going to be the first guy to make the mistake of trying to challenge?
Thinking that you can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael King's fine. His stuff was just so electric. That he couldn't get it over. He walked four guys, and that was kind of the.
That's a different opinion on that. I guess I wasn't paying attention to pitch by pitch because I was driving. I was just listening.
The ball was just, you know, electric, exploding out of the strike zone usually.
Okay.
But anyway, that was what I saw. I'm not Ruben Niebla. I'm sure he saw something much more, better than that.
I'll take what you saw.
That's what I saw. Michael King, by the way, 89 pitches. In the playoff last year, when he went 7 innings and struck out 12. Today, 2 innings, 76 pitches. Mm. So it's a little different story for Michael King today. All right, I noted this. The good day for the number 5 hitters. Ozzie Albies and Jackson Merrill combined for the first 6 RBIs of the game.
Yep.
It was 3-3, and all the runs have been
Ozzie Albies is always doing something good.
Albies got a 2-0 fastball.
Yeah.
Now, you can't give him that.
No.
And Merrill's at bat in the first inning against Chris Sale. To be that far out on your front foot against a pitcher of that caliber and still keep the hands back, that is not easy to do. There was one guy that I remember that always did it pretty well. War number 19, Padre guy, you may remember him.
Mm.
But it's Rod Carew.
Christian Villanueva?
Yeah, right, Christian Villanueva. It's not easy to do when you commit to then somehow keep your hands back. And that was the only way he could flick the bat and get that 2-run single. Profar gets mentioned again because in the 4th inning, he had a 12-pitch at bat against Alec Jacob. And here's the lesson for Alec Jacob. You win that battle because you got Profar to ground out. But guess what happened? Next pitch, Austin Riley lost it in the left field seats. That's Austin Riley's home run, but give a lot of the credit to Profar. If you're a pitcher and you win a 12-pitch at bat, your first notion is to go, thank goodness. But you can't do that.
Nope.
In the big leagues.
Nope.
And Austin Riley hit the next pitch out. So that was a notion.
Austin Riley's a big league hitter. He's going
to
do that.
He can do that. All right, we'll get to the rest of my notes on the scorecard. I got a bunch more. We'll kick off the second hour, or the other hour, as it were, of Gwen and Chris today. The next hour should be the happy hour, but since Gravy made this the happy hour.
Oh, my God.
This wasn't the happy hour.
The whole show could be the happy hour if you want.
This was the happy 17 minutes. The happy hour is next. Come on.
The things that we get stuck on in this show.
It is crazy. Scravy's got a big five to end the show. And I have a trip around opening day of Major League Baseball for you coming up as well. So stick around. Good final hour. Happy or not on Gwen and Chris. We'll be back on with a regular show tomorrow at 2 o'clock ahead of Game 2 of the season. Game 1 went the way of the Padres, as you know by now. 7-4 the final. Padres turned it with a 4-run 7th inning. Gavin Sheets, the hero of spring training, was a hero once again. A leadoff home run to tie the game in the 7th and get the winning rally going. Padres overcame 3 different deficits today to win this game. They were down 1-0, they were down 3-2, and they were down 4-3. And they overcame them all, and they win on opening day over the Braves. Same result, not same score, but same result as last year's first round of the playoffs. NCAA, Sweet 16, turning sour for our friends at BYU. Alabama's got to be so happy in this game because BYU doesn't guard anyone. BYU just races up and down the court. Well, that's what Alabama does better than any team in the country.
Where are they playing this game? Do you know?
I could find out.
Well, because I was going to say BYU is not getting the elevation.
No, it's not at elevation.
Yeah, they're not getting
it's
the
certainly
advantage.
Not at elevation. I know that. But anyway, Alabama's up by 16 with 10 minutes to go, 83-67. I mean, at this pace, Alabama's going to score 125 points. And you can't beat a run-and-gun team by run-and-gunning. But that's what BYU, the only thing BYU knows how to do. So they're getting beat by 16. Florida's trying to get a little space against Maryland. They were up by 2 at the half. Right now, the Gators lead by 8, 50-42. That's early in the second half. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to do Around Baseball today. There's a lot of fun storylines, interesting little tidbits.
I was locked in.
That took place today on opening day. So we're going to take you around every game in Major League Baseball, and we got a little fun something from each game for you. That'll be coming up in a little bit. But I want to finish my notes on a scorecard.
Let me do this.
Go back to my music.
There we go.
Here is my
scorecard. This is the only opening day music that can be played.
Evidently, because you don't have anything else.
That is true. It's true.
All right, we left off at Profar's 12-pitch at bat, which then set up Austin Riley's home run on the first pitch.
Yes.
Shortly thereafter, in the fourth inning, Braves had 2 men on, and they had 2 outs, and Ozzie Albies coming up, and Albies had already homered in the game. All right?
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
They brought in Yuki Matsui. I always want to say Hideki Matsui, who used to pitch many years ago. They brought in Yuki Matsui, a left-hander, to face Albies.
How did you feel?
Bad.
Okay.
Albies is a great right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
He's one of the very few switch hitters that his splits during his career are demonstratively better against lefties than righties. And my first thought was, this is not good. I don't want to turn Albies around and bat right-handed. So what did he do? He hit a home run. Thankfully, Brandon Lockridge brought it back in the ballpark.
He made an incredible catch.
I mean, look, that was the game right there. I know Sheets is getting all the credit, and he had to tie it. But if that Albies home run goes out, it's 7-3.
Yeah,
that's probably game
news.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, Mike Schilt's my guy, and I'm going to give him a lot of credit later in my notes on the scorecard.
Okay.
But I didn't agree with that. I don't think you ever turn Albies around and have him bat right-handed. And I thought, oh, no. And then, you know,
the
Lockridge
last
saved him.
I mean, the last memories we have of Yuki Matsui are not good. So
well, Yuki,
that was carrying over for me.
Here's a fun day for Yuki Matsui. He faced 5 batters. He gave up 2 home runs, but no runs and no hits. Because Lockridge caught one.
Yes.
And Jackson Merrill caught another one over the fence.
He did.
So those are both given up by Yuki Matsui, but he got out of it unscathed.
Hey, it doesn't matter if it doesn't go over the wall.
Fernando Tatis Jr. steals third base in the fifth inning.
Did he do it twice today?
He did. He stole third base twice today. He had zero multi-steal games last year, the whole season. He had two today. Manny also had two, which was crazy.
That is crazy.
I'll get to that in a minute. But Fernando stealing third, and Manny stole third once. So they stole third three times today on a day that they honored the greatest base stealer of all time, Ricky Henderson, before the game, with a beautiful tribute up on the scoreboard. Ricky used to always say, in his way, Ricky steals third easier than Ricky steals second.
I don't understand how that's even possible.
Because you get a bigger lead off second base running to third.
I guess you're right, because they...
You
yeah,
get a
okay.
running start.
All right.
Now, the difference is the throw is shorter, so the throw from home to third is shorter than home
yeah,
to second.
Yeah, definitely.
But you get a bigger lead if you time it right off second. Anyway.
They were putting the rookie catcher to the test. I can't remember his name right now for some
reason.
I'm
going to get to it. Okay. I haven't got to it yet. All right, Gavin Sheets was next. He hits the home run. What are you going to do? Here's where I give Mike Shildt the props.
Okay.
The left fielder was Brandon Lockridge in the starting lineup. To me, and I think almost every other manager would have brought up a lefty hitter in that situation because a right-handed pitcher is on the mound. They would have brought up Jason Hayward. He's the other left fielder.
Yep.
No, Mike Shildt said, no, this is the spot for Gavin Sheets, and he rewarded him with that home run. And then he brought Hayward in to pinch run, and they made the switch. But I don't know too many managers that wouldn't have gone with Hayward there, left fielder for left fielder, save Sheets for later in the game. Mike Shildt, winning call on that one. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gutsy call. I mean,
I'm giving you both, right.
He puts up Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets doesn't come through. Game's probably over. Or not over, but, you know, the Padres lose.
It's not over, but you don't have your best pinch hitter now
exactly.
for the rest of the game.
Exactly.
But it worked, and he knew something there. Luis Arraez today went 0 for 2. And that's rare.
That is rare.
But here's why I love Luis Arraez.
He has a zero batting average.
Yeah, for the moment. Here's why I love Luis Arraez, and I always will. He came up in that seventh inning with the go-ahead run on third base, and I believe nobody out. My point here is that they brought in Aaron Bummer to face him, a left-hander. Aaron Bummer gives up as many, if not more, ground balls than any pitcher in the league. 61% of the time, he gives up a ground ball. But a ground ball wasn't going to do it there. What Arraez needed was a fly ball. And that's what he got.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the run in to give them the lead. That is why Arraez is great in my mind. I know that everyone's going to say, well, he only hits singles. You know what? He does winning things. And you get a sacrifice fly there to give you the lead. A ground ball might not have gotten through. You wouldn't have got the lead. That is Arraez for me.
Yeah, I love Arraez. And his intensity is great, too.
Loved it. All right, here's your catcher story. The Atlanta Brave poor catcher.
What is his name?
His name is Drake Baldwin.
Drake Baldwin.
And Drake Baldwin is forever going to be able to tell his family and friends and anyone who will listen that in his big league debut, the opponent stole five bases against him. Mike Shildt talked about it after the game, but he was very careful not to mention, hey, we had a rookie catcher. We were going to test him. But that's exactly what they did. And Mike Shildt, the Padres don't steal a lot of bases, generally.
No.
But they went on everything they could today, and they were going to make the young catcher throw somebody out, and he didn't. So you keep running.
Yep.
That's smart. That's not dumb. That's smart. You got a rookie catcher. It's his first big league game. You're going to tell me he's not a little nervous? I'd be nervous.
He's very nervous.
All right. So good on the Padres there. Jackson Merrill, 4 RBIs, youngest Padre ever to do that on opening day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, you know, it's just Jackson. I mean, this guy, he makes the catch in center. He gets a 2 RBI hit to get you going. He gets a sack fly. He gets an RBI ground out. The first 3 RBIs come against Chris Sale. Lefties don't hardly ever start against Chris Sale. But that's what you think about Jackson Merrill, that you put him not only in, you put him fifth. And he gives you 3 RBIs off Chris Sale. Enough said about how good he is.
Yeah.
38th come from behind. They had 38 come from behind wins last year. They have one this year. And now I'm going to come full circle back to the beginning. Trevor Hoffman threw out the first pitch. Changeup master.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Suarez, new changeup master,
yeah,
closed out the game in the ninth inning. Do you remember last year when Suarez would throw 46 fastballs in a row over five games or something? That's all he would throw. And he spent the spring and the everything working on his changeup, and he got rocked in spring training. It served him well today, though. And, you know, he worked around that error. He worked around a walk. But Robert Suarez with a changeup, practically unfair. Because he can still throw 100 right on the black. But then he can get you with a changeup now?
Yeah.
Trevor, you should be proud.
That is a pitch that, like, you could see the Braves hitters, like, what do I do with that?
Well, they're like, this is not fair. I mean,
no, he's going to throw me 99, or yeah, he's going to throw me a changeup that I'm going to swing way too early for.
Yeah, but you might think he'd throw one changeup. He was throwing three or four in a row to Marcelo Ozuna in that one at bat. Had him struck out, by the way.
He did.
And then got him on the next pitch, so it didn't matter. But anyway, Suarez, well done. Jason Adam, by the way, 1-2-3.
Lights out.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. All right, so there's my notes on the scorecard. Did I leave anything out that you want to bring up?
I'm trying to think of what. I don't think you left anything out. That's interesting you say that about Michael King, because driving down, I was like, okay, maybe he's too amped up. He just doesn't have it today. But his stuff was too good.
What I'm saying, and I'm probably not right. This is my official opinion, but his ball was moving to the point where Diaz was having trouble catching it. That tells me that the stuff's pretty good.
Yeah.
These are major league catchers. They usually catch the ball.
Yeah.
But, and a matter of fact, at the end, they took both pass balls away from Diaz.
Oh, really?
And they changed them both to wild pitches.
And guess what?
On King.
King had one wild pitch last year.
He had two today.
He had two in the same inning today.
Yeah. Well, that tells you about the ball. You know,
he's going to be fine.
I'm not concerned.
I'm not concerned either. But this was a full team Padres win.
And that's what they're going to do all year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this just in. The Padres are going to be good this year. And it's not just based on one win. I'd say the same thing if they had one loss. They're going to be good. They have too many good players not to be good.
Yeah.
Did they add all of the pieces that you wanted them to add? We know they did not. But I think, you know, they're going to piece together everything else. Guys like Gavin Sheets, get it done.
And guess what? This is also, after all the Wandy Peralta angst throughout spring training, he's the guy who gets the win.
Andy,
first win of the season.
And guess what? Wandy Peralta's ratio of wins to pitches thrown is 1-1.
He only threw one pitch?
One pitch.
And I guess you're right.
Yep. He threw one pitch and he got one win.
That is some efficiency.
That's pretty efficient.
I don't think you could do any better than that.
I don't believe so. Well done. The only way you could do better than that is if you came into the game and you actually picked a runner off,
yeah,
and then went in the dugout and then you got the win and you didn't throw any pitches.
That's true.
But he
I would
did
love
pretty
to
good.
See that.
It probably has happened before. All right, some of the other strange and fun things on opening day. We'll take a look, trip around baseball. Scraby's got everything else that's happening in sports in the Big Five. Gwynn and Chris, bonus hour till 7, following a 7-4 Padre opening day win on 97.3 The Fan.
Fair up the third baseline. That's going to roll and roll. Fernando scores. Machado on his way to second base. It's an RBI double, his second double of the day, and the Padre lead is 6-4.
Good to hear Jesse Agler talking about Padres on their way to a win. Manny had a good day. Fernando had a good day. Jackson Merrill had a good day. Bullpen had a good day.
Yeah.
Gavin Sheets had a memorable day.
Starting pitching, yeah.
All right. Why are you throwing a wrench into it? I'm talking about all the good stuff that happened.
No, I texted someone today. I was like, Padres win. And they texted back, shaky win. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
No, that's...
What are we doing? They won the game.
Yeah, the only thing, I guess whoever you texted that to wants every game to be an 11-0 domination from the first inning on.
I just put the facepalm emoji because... You can't have that opinion after game one, people.
Somebody had it, apparently.
I know, and I told them that they were stupid.
BYU is just getting boat raced right now. Alabama 103, BYU 83. There's still 3 minutes to go. Alabama, get this, has tried an NCAA tournament record 50 three-pointers, and they've made 24. That's going to win you most games.
Yes, it will.
Mark Sears, the Alabama guard, is 10 for 16 by himself from three.
He's got 30 points just on
three. He's got 34 total.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He's only scored two other points.
Right. They've scored, Alabama scored 24 threes. BYU has made only six. Therein lies the difference in that game. Florida leads Maryland 66-56, 8 minutes to go there. Two more games later on. All right, here's what happened in baseball today, other than what happened with the Padres. Opening day, so kind of fun to check around the big leagues. Dodgers are still leading the Tigers. 5-3. Teoscar Hernandez had a big shot here. Three-run homer.
Oops.
Tommy Edman hit his second. His second? Yes, that's right. He hit one in Japan.
I forgot about that.
And guess who else hit a home run today? Shohei.
Oh, did he now?
Another one. 5-3 Dodgers over the Tigers.
Oh, well, should just all end the season now.
I guess so. Dodgers are going to be 3-0 unless they cough that lead up. Yankees beat Milwaukee 4-2. By the way, pay attention to this segment, because at the end I'm going to give away a trivia question based on something I say now.
Oh.
And the winner of that will get to go to the 24th McGuire's Del Mar Nationals, April 4th through 6th at Del Mar Fairgrounds. So pay attention. Yankees over the Brew Crew 4-2. Jackson Churio, all-time hero last year.
Man.
0-5, 5Ks.
Oh, he went 5Ks. I saw the 4Ks. What is a 5K day? I don't know.
Golden,
I know, a 4K
sombrero,
day is platinum sombrero.
I think platinum sombrero. I don't know.
You can't go any higher
than that.
That's
a tough day for Jackson. We have talked about, you know, sophomore slumps. It's a little early for that. But
5Ks,
that
was, though, is not
that's
a great
bad way
to
start.
Start.
And Aaron Boone put Austin Wells, a catcher, in the leadoff spot. He had a leadoff home run to open the game.
He did.
Aaron Boone knows what he's doing. Devin Williams gets a save against his former team. Now he's with the Yankees. He did it against the Brew Crew. Baltimore beat Toronto 12-2. Two home run day for Adley Rutschman. Two home run day, Cedric Mullins. But the home run everybody will talk about is Tyler O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
You and I will talk about it more.
Yes.
In the Big Five. But 6 years in a row with a home run on opening day, that's ludicrous. Philadelphia beat Washington 7-3 in 10. Bryce Harper.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hit his sixth opening day home run, but first ever as a Philly.
Okay.
Jordan Romano, new closer for the Phillies, blew the save. But the Phillies bailed him out with a four-run 10th-inning rally. What you got?
Mackenzie Gore was amazing today.
Oh, 13
strikeouts.
Oh, I missed that. And
I pride myself on this.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. Six innings, one hit, no walks, 13 Ks. Can we have him back?
Still got the L.
No, he didn't get the L.
Well, I mean the team. Yeah, okay. The team got the L.
They got the L. Wow, that's a good performance. I missed that going through all the box scores. Thanks for pointing it out.
Well, it was quiet because they
lost. Right, they didn't win, yeah. Boston beat Texas 5-2. The hero there, Willier Abreu.
Ah.
3-for-3, two homers, four ribbies, including a tie-breaking three-run homer in the ninth off the new Rangers closer, Luke Jackson. And I know that Bochy's going to be Bochy this year, but the Rangers do have a bullpen concern. They don't have a closer at all.
And
Luke
Yates
Jackson, I don't think, is going to be it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how Bochy navigates that. Miami beat Pittsburgh 5-4. This was the pitching matchup of the century.
It was.
Skeens, 5 1/3 innings, 2 runs, 7 Ks. Sandy Alcantara back, 4 2/3, 2 runs, 7 Ks. So they're pretty much the same. Kyle Stowers won it for Miami with an RBI single in the ninth. Giants beat Cincy 6-4. Wilmer Flores did it. Three-run shot in the ninth to win it for San Francisco. Reds were without their usual closer, Almedes Diaz,
yep,
who's on the injured list. Ian Gubal was given the opportunity. Flores took him yard. This is the most surprising story of the day. White Sox 8, Angels 1. The White Sox equal their win total from last year.
One win.
Or it almost seems like it.
It does seem like it. But that's a bad day for the Angels.
It is. Logan Ohapi, who I like to just say that name.
It is a good name.
Homered in the ninth for the Angels' only run. That's all they got.
What did Mike Trout do?
Nothing. 0-for-2
with a walk, I think.
Venables 1-0, though. Good for Will
Good
Venables.
For him.
Cleveland 7-4 over KC. 10 innings. Another blown save. The great Class A blew this save. But Cleveland pulled it out with 3 runs in the 10th. Houston beat the Mets 3-1. Framber Valdez, 7 shutties. Josh Hader allowed the only run. I still like to pick on him a little bit. And Juan Soto, a Juan Soto day if there ever was one.
Yes, it was.
1-for-3 with 2 walks.
Yep.
And they didn't win that one.
Someone said the Hader punched him out to end the game. I'm not sure if that's true.
Oh, I didn't see that, but it could have happened. St. Louis beat Minnesota 5-3. The only note there of any consequence, Nolan Arenado, homers for the Cardinals. You know, he's been trying to get out of there, but not yet. Well, actually, he turned down the trade, right? They traded him.
They tried to, and he declined it.
He declined it.
Yep.
So I don't feel for you, Nolan.
Also, they had a huge old delay in the beginning of the game. It's just so nice to be in San Diego where we don't really have to deal with delays at all, ever.
Not today. It was a beautiful day.
It was.
All right. We'll give you... Oh, wow. Florida's now up 16. Yeah. They're kind of impressing or forcing their superiority on Maryland. Alabama's up 24. They got 110 points.
That's crazy.
Gwynn and Chris continues with a big five to close out a fun opening day on 97.
Wait, you have a trivia question.
Oh, you're right. I do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Win a 4-pack of tickets right now. Good Guys 24th, McGuire's Del Mar Nationals, April 4th through 6th at Del Mar Fairgrounds. Tickets at good-guys.com/DMN or win 4 now. What closer saved a game against his former team today? I told you during the baseball roundup that we just did.
I'm so stupid. I don't even know.
You don't even know. Well, I'll tell you when we go to break so you can know the answer. 833-288-0973. Hopefully somebody was paying attention. And we'll come back after we give out the prize. Stick around.
Hey, it's Graby here, and you know many things about daily life annoys me. I finally found an outlet for all that annoyance. It's called the Daily Gripe, and I do it during...
113-88.
Close.
Alabama hit 25 threes, an NCAA tournament record. They tried 51. BYU did not guard any of them. So, you know, good for Alabama, but I don't see them scoring 113 against Duke in the next round. Probably Duke in the next round.
Yeah.
Duke's not going to give them those open looks. By the way, if you're wondering, 113, is that the record for an NCAA tournament game? Not quite.
I was, and then Chris let me know.
Loyola Marymount, much to Steve Fisher's chagrin and Brian Dutcher, who was the assistant coach that day, Loyola Marymount over Michigan in 1990 with .149, Scrabe.
That's insane.
I was at that game, played at the Long Beach Arena.
That's insane.
Incredible performance. There's a huge story that goes along with that game, but we don't have time right now. Suffice to say, Loyola has the record. The other game right now, Florida is pulling away from Maryland finally. It took a while, but they are now. 82-66, 3 minutes to go. The top-seeded Gators. Oh, Padres beat the Braves 7-4
yes,
today.
They
if
did.
You're just tuning in and wondering about that. So very good. 1-0. World Series plans. You getting ready? Did you look up the dates of when the World Series starts?
No, but I've already picked out my perch for... I'm not even going to say it.
What perch?
Yeah, I'm not going to say where the perch is for, because last year I got in big trouble for saying what my perch was for.
Ah.
You know what I'm talking about, Chris. Happens when you win a championship that goes through the streets.
Got you.
Do you really? Should I say it?
Parade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already have my perch.
Okay. Reserve it. All right, are we checking traffic today or not?
No, we're not checking traffic at this point.
Should we at least salute our winner of the Good Guys tickets?
Of course.
It was?
James.
All right, very good, James.
James knew, first caller, it was easy.
He knew Devin Williams, which you didn't know.
No, and then when he told me, I was like,
saved a game against his former team today. All right, let's get to Big Five, see what else is happening in sports today, Scrape.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I just was saying, oh, alrighty, with then. No microphone on.
I thought you were going to do a Jim Carrey.
No.
Alrighty then. Yeah.
Is that from
Ace Ventura?
Okay, it is.
Yes, it is.
Number five.
Ace Ventura, the last time the Dolphins made the Super Bowl. Not really.
In my mind,
the last time they made the Super Bowl.
What's his name? Ray Finkel?
Ray Finkel.
Laces out. That's such a funny part of that movie.
And the Miami, Dan Marino fighting a fist fight with the Philadelphia Eagles mascot.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
That was good.
All right, let's get started with this question, because as Chris just said, the Padres beat the Braves 7-4 today. We saw a ton of action on the bases. Fernando stole two. Manny stole two. Xander Bogaerts stole one. Here is my question, Chris, because Fernando, we don't know what he's going to do in terms of stolen bases this year, how hard he's going to push it. So how much is the right mix for Fernando to steal bases this year?
He's, how old is he now?
26?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. He's super old now.
Right, that's what I mean. He's 26. I know that Acuna says he's going to not run as much this year. Fernando's record is only 29.
Yeah.
His record.
That is crazy, right?
Yeah, he seems like he could get 50 if he just kind of wanted to.
I mean, last year he ended up fracturing his leg, so he didn't run at all after he came back.
Yeah, he had 11 last year, but 29's his record. I think it would be, fair to give him the record this year. Get into the 30s.
Over 30.
And steals. And give me into the 40s in home runs. He's had 42 before. That's the kind of year he's going to need.
Yeah.
They're going to need this, a lot from him. So, buckle up, Fernando.
I wonder if...
Get to work.
I wonder how much of the two stealing third twice today was because they were testing the catcher, and that's not going to be a plan going forward.
Well, Chris Sale has to take some of the credit or the blame.
Because he didn't hold him.
You have to hold the guy. You can't just give him a running start off second base.
Yeah.
And Chris Sale, every time they stole third, it was because he wasn't really paying attention. But yeah, the Padres, there's no question. I know Mike Shilton won't admit it because he doesn't want to give bulletin board material.
Yeah.
But you had a rookie catcher, his first ever game.
Yep.
You run.
Yep.
Make him throw you out. And he never did. And now Drake Baldwin at the at his high school reunion in 30 years will be able to say, yeah, I coughed up five steals in my first big league game. Hopefully it'll go better for you, Drake.
I think it will.
Yeah.
Hopefully for him, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing we haven't mentioned is that Fernando missed out on a home run maybe by like a half an inch or something.
How do you hit a ball 360 feet with topspin on it?
And it goes 112 miles an hour at the bat and hits the top of the wall.
But it went over the left fielder's head and then into the, not the top of it, looked like it hit the bottom of the wall.
I don't know how he did that. But
I don't know how he did
Jerkson,
that.
Profar knows how to play left field, and he was ready for it. Fernando got a single off of that.
Yeah, because the ball got out there so fast.
And he was like, oh, I thought I had a homer, and now I don't. So
Profar played it well, but the ball was over his head before he could move. That's how hard it was hit.
This game for Fernando, I know he's a great player, but this was important, I think.
I hope so. I hope it's the start of a huge
thing. 3-for-4.
Yeah.
With
two steals,
almost a home run.
The whole thing. Yeah,
all
let's
that
do it, Fernando.
Stuff.
Let's
all
do
right.
it.
All right. Let's get to our next one.
Number four.
We're going to go to hockey. Sidney Crosby's first period goal against the Buffalo Sabres on today secured the 20th point per game season for the Penguins captain, breaking a tie with Wayne Gretzky. The goal also clinched Crosby's 14th 80-point season since entering the NHL during the 2005-06 season, putting him 3 behind Gretzky for that record. We know Ovechkin is closing in on the goal record, so I'm up first. Can Wayne Gretzky be, quote-unquote, the great one if his records get broken? I don't think you could call yourself the great one if people start breaking your records, because you're not the greatest anymore. I mean, his nickname will always be the great one. It's always going to be, but it's an honorary nickname at a certain point.
I don't really have it. I don't really remember Wayne Gretzky playing as much, so yeah, it doesn't. No, it doesn't have that feel to me.
I know it doesn't. But
Sidney Crosby debuting in 2005 makes me feel extremely old, Chris.
Sid the Kid's played 20 years.
I can't believe this.
Impressive. He once won a Stanley Cup in the finals against Detroit, playing on a broken foot. How many guys do you know can skate on a broken foot? These are hockey players. They're tough.
They're tough.
Final thing, Gretzky will always be the greatest of all time because even though Ovechkin is going to break the goal thing and all the, you know, all the games he's played, Gretzky, no player in the history of any sport has ever been that far ahead of the rest of the players than Gretzky was at the time he played. That just can't be argued. It was like Michael Jordan playing against college kids. It was that big of a gap. They had to change rules to keep Gretzky and that Edmonton team from scoring too many goals. Anyway,
all right, that puts some context to it. Put some context to it.
That's my argument for you. But you're right, he's losing some of his records.
I think I'm going to start calling him the good one.
The good one.
The really good one.
Well, you're just going
to. I'm just a hater, that's why.
I mean, look, overall points, just points, goals plus assists in his career. Gretzky's still 900 ahead of second place.
Okay, that
900 points ahead
right,
of
no
second.
No one's ever going to catch that.
He's 1,200 ahead of Sidney Crosby.
That's insane.
Okay, there you go.
All right, that puts it in a whole new perspective.
A whole new light.
It does. Yeah. Number three. By the way, what does the 20th point per game season mean?
I guess they play 82 games, so he gets at least 82 points.
Didn't even think about that.
There you go.
All right, Orioles slugger Tyler O'Neill extended his AL-NL record of consecutive opening days with a home run to 6 in Baltimore's big win over the Blue Jays today, 12-2. He got on the board after a 3-run homer to right field in the third inning. I did a fantasy or FanDuel lineup this morning.
Did you put him in?
Was about to choose Tyler O'Neill. Didn't choose Tyler O'Neill.
You didn't go with it.
Did not. Also was about to choose Adley Rutschman. Did not choose Adley Rutschman.
Two homers for him.
Yeah. Chris, do you care about something like this?
I like stuff like this, but I have to keep it in perspective. This is just, to me, a coincidence. The fact that on 6 straight opening days he's hit a home run.
Yeah.
It's just kind of coincidental.
With different teams.
But I do like it. I like stuff like this, and I hope he hits one next year for 7.
That would be crazy. But I mean, what are the odds that he hits 6
in a row? The odds that he's done this are got to be pretty astronomical.
First off, you have to be on a team. You have to be healthy. You have to be... There's a lot that goes into this.
Tyler O'Neill is a good player. He's not really an incredible player. You know, he doesn't hit like 40 a year. Yeah, he's 15, 20, 25. You know, he's had some nice years. He's had some not so nice years also.
Yeah. But
anyway, he always homers on opening day.
I think this is awesome. I didn't know where you were going to go. I didn't know if you were going to say it's just a coincidence or it's an oddity. Or
it's both, but I still like it.
Okay.
I still like it.
Tyler O'Neill setting records, 6 homers on opening day. Now, here's one of my...
You said it wrong. See, this is what I have to work with you.
6 consecutive home runs on opening day.
No, that would mean every at-bat he had on opening day hits a home run. The way to say it correctly, 6 consecutive opening days... with a home run.
That's how I wrote it, too.
That's what you
like
wanted.
Like a dummy over here. Number two. This is one of my favorite topics, Chris.
What you got?
I'm going to give you a headline for Paul Skeens after his start today against the Marlins in Miami. Like
a headline?
Like a blog headline or an article headline. But first, I'm going to give you a stat line. He went, 5 1/3 innings, struck out 7. He allowed 2 runs on 3 hits and 2 walks. And he also becomes the fastest number one pick to make a season opening start. So that's also a feather in his cap.
Yes, the old record was Mr. Strasburg, who made an opening day start 3 years after he was picked number one. But now, Skeens did it the next year.
It's also perspective for me right there.
Pretty good that Skeens has done this. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm known as a Skeens hater. I'm not a Skeens hater. I'm a media coverage of Skeens hater. But here, I'm up first. Here's the headline first on MLB.com. Skeens adds to lore with strong opening day start.
Adds to lore?
So I'm going to go first. Is this a proper headline for the performance? No. But I can see why they did this. A, it's clickbait. B, he did add to some lore by becoming the youngest, I just said it. I don't want to say quickest, it. The fastest number one pick to make season opening start.
Right. Here's the
so
quickest.
That is where the lore is added. But his overall start wasn't great. It wasn't dominant. They lost to the Marlins.
Here's two players that you're not fond of, and it's okay that you're not. But disliking Paul Skeens and Shohei Ohtani is going to cause you nothing but heartache.
It will, I know.
It just is.
I know.
Skeens is that good. Ohtani homered again today, his second already this year. He's that good. And we just have to, you know, live with it, unfortunately.
I am not of the opinion that Paul Skeens is a bad pitcher or he's overrated.
No, you're just not
I just
a fan.
Hate the headline. Skeens adds to lore with strong opening. I even think the word strong is a little bit much there.
I mean, look, I mean, there's a lot of guys I don't like. Doesn't mean that they aren't good players. Chris Paul's a great player. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't like him.
Cliff Paul from the State Farm commercials?
I like him better than Chris Paul.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Is that the one with the when he's got the glasses on?
Yeah, and he's like twin or something.
Yeah, I like that.
Cliff Paul, it's pretty genius.
Not bad.
All right, last one. And this, you know, I have two more since we have time.
Number one.
And I'm not going to go to the last one just yet.
All right.
So I was online this morning, and they were putting up prices for opening day tickets and how much on the secondary market the lowest ticket would be, lowest price for a ticket.
Are we talking Padre game or
no,
any
we're talking
game?
All games.
Okay, all games.
So the Reds and the Giants came in first, Chris.
With the highest prices?
With the highest... This is going to be confusing. Highest low opening day ticket.
Oh, not the Giants and the game was Giants.
Giants Reds
versus Reds.
Yes, in Cincinnati.
So the Cincinnati ticket was the most.
Yes, but the ticket cost $189. So I put online, who's paying $189 for the Giants and the Reds?
Yeah,
I know I'm not paying $189 for that, but I got crushed online for this because, you know, Chris, I don't know ball apparently because I said this, but anyway. Do you think $189 is too much for an opening day ticket?
Why were they saying you don't know ball?
Because Cincinnati does do it up for opening day.
That's
what you know. What I did? I texted all of the people that I know in Cincinnati, and I said, "Did you guys go to opening day?" Out of seven people, one did.
Yeah. Well, did you see the pictures?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because out of seven people, besides your seven, seven went.
But who
the
is
the entire
paying...
city of Cincinnati was downtown today.
I've been.
It was incredible.
I've been to a Cincinnati opening day.
All
right, it is fun. It's not $189 for a ticket. Fun.
Well, you know me. I'm a cheapskate. I would pay no more than $19, let alone $189.
You're never going to a game then.
Then I'm never going to a game. Yeah.
When I went to my, I looked up my ticket on opening day back then. It was $74.99 was my ticket.
That's a lot still.
But that was in 2010.
Well, 43,000 people braved the rich prices today in Cincinnati.
And they got to see Wilmer Flores.
Wilmer Flores broke their hearts with a 3-run homer in the ninth.
All right, I guess I have to get to the last
one. Number 1A.
Okay.
Former NFL running back LeSean Johnson has been charged in a federal dogfighting case after 190 dogs were seized from him last year. Department of Justice announced in a news release this week that the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Oklahoma unsealed the grand jury indictment charging him with the Federal Animal Welfare Act. Johnson, who made his initial court appearance last week, is charged with, quote, possessing 190 pit bull-type dogs for use in an animal fighting venture and for selling, transporting, delivering a dog for use in an animal fighting venture, end quote. He faces 21 counts. If he's convicted, he faces a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine on each count, Chris. So...
Well, he's not going to be able to afford that. I mean, he's going to all of a sudden come up with...
No, I'm fine with the fine.
$5-plus million? Dollars?
No, that fine is just going to make sure that he never makes any money for himself again. Well. And if he gets... 21 counts at 5 years each. Do the math for me real quick. That's 105 years,
no,
I think.
No, it says if he's convicted, he faces a maximum penalty of 5 years.
On each count?
No. Oh, well, I don't know if... Well, it's unclear to me.
Okay.
It says a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine on each count. So is the 5 years on each count or just the 250? I'm not... I don't...
Okay, well, I'm gonna
for sure there.
Okay, you know what? For the argument, I'm just gonna assume that it's 5 years max. This guy needs to be locked up and never let out.
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah, I mean, anything with animals is gonna get my attention, and I'm gonna hate it more than anything in the world. I don't even know how another human being I don't get it. So somebody have to explain to me what they're thinking. But what are you thinking when you're keeping and training dogs to fight other dogs? I don't even like that. I can't go there because I can't get in that thought process.
You know what this story did?
190 dogs that you're using for this? Yeah. It's just, I hate it.
You know what this
so
story
much,
did for me,
so.
Though, is I had forgiven Michael Vick, and it's not fair for me
now
to do
this. Now you're back
to
being angry?
But I am, because Michael Vick did this too, and for some reason, if you hurt animals in my eyes, you are a worse person than anyone else on earth. I mean, there's definitely bad people.
No,
trust
there
me.
Are. I know, but I'm with you, Scrib. I don't know what else to tell you. It's the old saying. I mean, if you know, they shoot 10 people dead in a movie, nobody blinks an eye. But if somebody kicks a dog,
oh yeah,
that's the end of it, right?
There's a website called DoesTheDogDie.com where you can look up for movies.
Oh god!
And if there's a dog that passes away in the movie, then you can see it, and you don't have to watch that part.
All right, let's finish with a couple final scores because that was kind of a sad ending to the day.
Yeah,
Padres did win 7-4. They're 1-0.
Woohoo!
Full day of activity tomorrow. We're on before the game from 2:00. Tony will be obviously back with us for all of that tomorrow. Saturday, we're out and about. All of us broadcasting live down right next to Petco Park, Tom's Watch Bar. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow, but that's all day Saturday.
8th and J.
Florida moved on with a win over Maryland, 87-71. Alabama beat BYU, 113-88. Dodgers over the Tigers, 5-4. They're 3-0. But the Padres are 1-0. Thank you, Scraby. Thank to all of you for being part of opening day coverage on 97.3 The Fan. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.